From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kearns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in. We do appreciate you taking the time to make this broadcast a part of your day, each day we're on the air. So thank you for listening. I trust that you'll be able to stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment as we look into the Word of God together in Matthew chapter 4 to consider Christ, the maker of the fishers of men. However, we start with our hot topic for today, which may indeed be hot for many people, evangelical feminism. Evangelical feminism sounds like a contradiction in terms. It is, but that doesn't deter those who want to be both evangelical and feminist. And it seems there are many in this category. Evangelical feminists profess to hold on to Scripture as the Word of God and to receive its message of grace in Christ. If this sounds good, just hold on for a moment, because here comes the kicker. By definition, evangelical feminism is a movement that disregards unique leadership roles for men in marriage and in the church. And that's where the incipient apostasy of evangelical feminism starts to emerge. You see, there's not the slightest doubt that the New Testament accords a peculiar leadership to men, both in the home and in the church. Ungodly Bible deniers have long complained that this is demeaning to women and that it robs women of their equal dignity. And all that is nonsense. It's nonsense because the New Testament pattern does more to bless and elevate women than anything that the world has ever seen. Nevertheless, it accords headship in the family and the church to men. As I say, nobody can be in any doubt that the New Testament teaches this, and evangelicals are supposed to believe the Bible, right? So how do evangelical feminists get around this plain teaching? How do they, for example, justify the ordination of women as pastors and elders in the church? The answer is that they adopt the liberal heresy that the Bible is culturally conditioned. In other words, though the message of Scripture is true and enduring, the language and concepts in which it is expressed reflect the culture of the times in which it was written. In certain professedly evangelical circles, this view has produced what are grandly termed trajectory hermeneutics. People adopt this method of interpretation by arguing that the church should not limit itself to a first century understanding of the Bible concerning gender issues, but must consider Scripture from a modern day standpoint. Having restated the New Testament message in terms of modern culture, they claim to remain true to the faith while espousing feminist and other positions that find no support in the New Testament text. The problem with all this is that it is in no sense evangelical. It's rank liberalism. It repudiates one of the great foundational principles of evangelicalism, namely that Scripture, that is, what is written in the Bible, Scripture is our sole rule of faith and practice. Keep that in mind the next time you run into a woman pastor or elder. Evangelical feminism may make the church more palatable to the world, but by departing from the Word of God, it will destroy, not bless, the churches that espouse it. Eternal. Strong. Our regular listeners will know that during the month of April, we have been making a special offer of my book on the Lord's Prayer. It comes to you free of charge. There are no strings attached. It's our thank you to our listeners who make this program a part of their day, every day they can, pray for us before the throne, that the Lord will richly bless his word wherever it goes forth. Since this week started on Monday the 30th of April, we have extended the offer into this first week in May, so that you may have a last opportunity to avail yourself of our offer of the book on the Lord's Prayer. The book is available to those who write or call or email and simply tell us they would like to have it. So you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we trust that you'll be richly blessed as you study the Lord's Prayer.
Will I love? He will I love?
now continue with our study of Christ, the maker of fishers of men, from Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. We have been emphasizing the central truth of this text, namely, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in calling his disciples, set the terms of their service, defined the work to which they must devote their lives, and promised them the ability to perform their service successfully. Yesterday, we closed the program by referring to our mission, that is, fishing for men, seeking the lost for Christ. Now we take up the study and say a word about the message that we bring to them and the methods we employ to win them. So let's turn back to Matthew chapter 4.
The message to bring to them is the gospel. When Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men, he was making them preachers of the gospel. He was giving them one message for all men, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of God. And the method, well, he made that method clear in the parable of the net. I have kept on referring to the gospel net because that's how Christ referred to the gospel. In Matthew 13, 47, 48, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, but which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Don't want to get into the parable as such this morning. Even in the truest evangelism, there will be a mixed catch. I'm a Calvinist. That means I'm just a Bible-believing Christian, by the way. But there are some Calvinists who try to put a stopper on evangelism. There are some who would have you believe that if you make a public appeal for souls, you're an Arminian. They don't know much of their church history. I realize that there are different ways of calling people to Christ. But some of the greatest Calvinistic soul winners made sure that they had their people on the lookout for sinners in their meetings. And they would go down and they would talk to them individually. And they would plead with them and they would call them to Christ. They knew nothing of this deadness, this doctrinaire folly that would commit sinners to hell before it would reach out and even call them to the Savior. One of the arguments against indiscriminate calling people to Christ is you get so many false professions. I remember Dr. Paisley's answer to that when an evangelist of a different ilk to himself said that to him, you'll get so many false professions. And coming from a farming background, the young Ian Paisley could tell him, no farmer yet ever brought in the wheat without the chaff. There's no such thing as a harvest without chaff. Jesus puts it plainly here. If you're afraid of some bad fish getting into the gospel net, in simple terms, if you're afraid of some people professing to be saved while they're not genuinely saved, and because of that you don't make any effort to get anybody saved, you're flying in the face of God's purpose for a start. You're committing the most abject folly. Leave it to the Lord to throw the bad fish away. But let us get the gospel net full. I remember in the 1970s spending almost a week out on a professional fishing boat out of the port of Portavogie, Northern Ireland. And you could trust me to pick one of the roughest weeks that the North Sea had had. And dumb landlubber that I was, up in the captain in those boats, the captain's way, way up high because he's an expert and he's spotting fishing grounds and he's using the sonar equipment and the cameras. He's using everything he can to find fish and let down the nets. And I'm up there and I say to him, hey, look at that ship beside us, that boat beside us. And it was rolling so hard, if you were standing by the side, you could have plunged your arm right up to the shoulder in the water. I said, oh dear, it's terrible. And he looked at me, shook his head, and said, did it never strike you? See, I was 25 feet above the deck. Did it never strike you that's what we're doing too? Well, I soon found out that's what we were doing. That's a week I'll never forget. And I was there to see them catch fish. I wasn't there to get in the way, because it's a very, very dangerous place to be, the deck of a fishing boat in a rough sea. But I can see them. I want to tell you, when the captain sent word, we're into fish, they would get word across to their sister ship, the partner. They would sling out the great steel ropes. They would get the nets strung out. And they would trawl for fish up and down. Nowadays, in those very same fishing areas, it's almost a fight to the death to be able to get those fish, for all of the boats of international countries are there. And they're fighting for the same diminishing catch. But I can still see them and see the joy in their faces as they hauled in that great net. But you know, when they started to sort them, there were bad fish among them. Tossed them away. There were others that weren't part of their catch, and they set them aside. If I said to those men, "Hey fellas, look, you've had to toss those ones away and you've had to set those ones aside. Don't bother going out tomorrow again." They'd have thought I was even worse than a landlubber. They'd have thought I was a lunatic. Yet that's exactly what we do. Let down the net. I am not advocating at all the crazy, worldly, sloppy methods that have been adopted just to get people to make, quote, good decisions. Not advocating that at all. I'm advocating the wholesale dissemination of the gospel. I'm advocating going out with gospel entreaty. I'm advocating taking the message of Christ crucified to dying men and women. I'm telling them there's life in Christ. If you will come, you will be saved. The Word of God says, come. The Spirit of God says, come. And the promise of God says, if you come, you will be saved. I'm advocating that. That's letting down the gospel net and bring them in. That's Christ's call. And with it, he gives the promise, I will make you fishers of men. Not I'll teach you to be fishers of men. See, that's the difference. I think there's a place for classes on soul winning. Classes that teach people how to deal with men and women. One of the best books, and I don't agree with everything he wrote, and so you've got to be a little careful, especially when he deals with the person of Christ and of the Holy Spirit in one particularly narrow area. But one of the best books I ever got as a young Christian in my hand was R.A. Torrey's How to Work for Christ. Torrey was a master personal worker. He had an encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible. He had a mind that worked like a computer. And he could bring out Bible text just like that, no matter what the situation. He could answer every situation with the precisely right words of Scripture. And he put down a lot of his experience in How to Work for Christ. Or sometimes a different edition called Personal Work. Actually a smaller edition. And it would say, when you meet this kind of person, here's the Scripture to use. When you meet this kind of person, here's Scriptures you may use. And for a young Christian, it was a wonderful tool just to be able to sit down and memorize. Here are Scriptures that I can actually use. And then go out and put them to use. I think there's a place for that. But that will not make you a fisher of men. Jesus didn't say, I will teach you how to be fishers of men. He said, I will make you fishers of men. There's a world of difference there. You see, that's the power of a sovereign God. Christ, in other words, has the power to effect whatsoever he wills. If he wills it, he puts it into effect. You think that through, that is the mark of absolute deity. And I get great encouragement from this. Christ equips those whom he calls. He equips them. When he calls you to be saved, the devil tells you, you could never keep that, you know. And for once, the devil's telling the truth. You couldn't keep it. But the lie in the devil's truth is this. The Lord Jesus doesn't ask you to keep him. He promises he'll keep you. World of difference. When he saves you, he'll keep you. And when he calls you to his service, he will equip you for that service. I think of people whom the Lord called, and apparently they didn't have what it took for the work of God. I think of C.T. Studd. When God called Studd for most of his life, for most of his greatest works, no missionary society on earth would touch him because he wasn't fit physically. He did his greatest work when man said, you're not fit to do any work. Because when Christ calls, he equips. I think of Jock Purvis, who couldn't get a doctor to say he was fit to go to the field. But he went to the field and he did the work to which God had called him, because in calling him, Christ equipped him. I think anybody who's called to the Christian ministry or to the mission field should feel a great deal of fear. I remember when God dealt with me as a young man, I was dead scared. I did everything I could to escape going into the Christian ministry. Not for the reasons that many people would think. To come into the free church in those days meant you sacrificed everything. You sacrificed your reputation. You sacrificed any good name that you ever had. You sacrificed any prospects you had. You sacrificed any comfort you had. You were going to live in need, in poverty, outside the camp with every man's hand against you. That's what you were called to do. And I have to say before God, none of those things scared me in the slightest way. What scared me stiff was going out and not being able to do the work of God and failing in the Christian ministry. That's what scared me. And I had every right to be scared, I'll tell you. But when God calls, God equips.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.